Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Toppy, Bobby, Belt will be back tomorrow. We got Peyton, Phillip, Russell firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you guys for turning it on, leaving it on. Congrats to the Dallas Open ticket winners. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're now trying to kick out tickets every day in the 9 o'clock hour. AEW that Kevin Hagelin is jealous of. So some AEW wrestling tickets in the final hour of the program. Of course, we are on Cowboys Coaching Watch nonstop all the time, bringing you all the latest rumors and possibilities. And Ralph James Choppy has come up with his own type of list.
All right. Are you excited or frightened? There's 25 names here that I've thought of that, and I'm probably missing some.
Were you out for Bobby's exercise where he put together like this program of what type of coach you want in five different categories and it spit out the name?
We did that. I know we did it off air. I don't remember if we did it on air.
We did it at the party that night. We did it at the company party.
Yes.
I think maybe you were out the days after that.
I might have been. Yeah, I think I was. So I don't know if I don't think we did that. I did it on air, but you know what I want, and I've said it, I want like a I do want a Dan Campbell CEO type coach. Like I want a leader of men. I don't care if you're like this unique OC. If you are, great.
See, I'm really surprised by that from you. I thought that you rolled your eyes at the intangible stuff, the leadership stuff, the emotional stuff, and you just you wanted the, you know, X's and O's offensive genius dweeb.
No, what I want is hats on hats. That's what I want. I want a Jason Garrett type. Our lineup, our 11 best against your 11 best, because that's toxic masculinity right there, Sean. And, you know, these people.
That's why you hate McVay and Shanahan, yes, and Ben Johnson.
Yeah, all these people who.
The people whose brains give them the advantage.
Right. I don't want that. Okay. You know, smartness, that's not a skill.
I mean, Garrett was Princeton.
Yeah, but he was a Neanderthal from Princeton.
No,
he wasn't.
He was not.
Yeah. Witton. For all of Witten's, you know, flaws, and when I say flaws, I mean like he's not ready. He's a high school coach. Like that's a guy like I can get behind that. You know, I can get behind that. Just a meathead. Just give me a big meathead.
Okay.
You know, somebody that may you have to wonder. You know, just
but Pete Carroll, is he a meathead?
No, but he's got that kind of CEO type, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just feel
you
like
got me all twisted up in a pretzel here.
Yeah, I just feel like the I'm smarter than you guys. I don't know. I just don't. It doesn't sit right.
All right. Well, before we get to it, and I'm pretty sure you're going to start off with this dude, Kellen Moore. Yesterday was asked about the Cowboy rumors at his filthy presser.
I mean, obviously, I spent a lot of time there, 8 years there, and so obviously have plenty of relationships about that place, and so I love it here. I've had so much fun here. It's been a really fun process, and we're in a really special situation right now, getting the chance to play this Sunday, have a chance to make a run at this thing, and that's really all you worry about. Everything else is what it is, and we'll see where it takes you.
All right. It's a non-answer. It's a good answer. It's a Garrett answer, right? It's a very Jason Garrett-y type
that's
answer.
That's not a no. That sounds like he would not be entertaining. My two recent translations from coaching possibilities, it sounded like Deion said, thanks, but no thanks. I want to be in Boulder. And it sounds like Kellen is like, hey, we'll see where it goes. It's a possibility.
All right. So, and I totally agree with that assessment. So, let's just start off here. with Kellen Moore. Excited or frightened?
For the purposes of the exercise, I'm going to pick one of the two words.
Like, the real answer is probably neither.
Well,
I'm not frightened. He wouldn't.
I'm not frightened. I'm like, I'm hitting snooze. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not getting any movement there. You know, I'm not getting Deion. At least would give me that excitement for the content. Belichick would give me that excitement. For the purpose of the exercise, I'll lean towards fright. I'll lean towards fright because I don't see in Kellen Moore, or haven't heard the things about Kellen Moore that I think the Dallas Cowboys lacked under Mike McCarthy. You know, are they going to be sharper in terms of details, more intelligent? Maybe, possibly, because of this whole Kellen brain thing. Is Kellen Moore going to be able to crack down enough and stand in front of that room of 53 people? I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it. So I would lean more towards fright. Bobby can kick out all these offensive stats that he wants. And I know everyone can say, well, the perfect combo is to have Kellen's brain and the emotion from your coordinators. No, at some point in time, the leader of your organization, the leader of your company, we have to know that that person can bring it. We have to know that that is the leader, not, okay, he's the head coach, but that's really the leader. Yeah, you can get the different components from a collection on staff. I got to know that our leader can lead us into the battle when the S hits the fan. I'm not feeling it from Kellen, so I'll lean towards fright.
I would obviously in this exercise, excited or frightened, you can't do snooze, I think, or you know, I'm neither. Like, I'm not scared of Kellen being the head coach. I think Kellen, he knows what he's doing. Like, and he knows it from an offensive standpoint. I don't have a problem with him from an offensive standpoint. He would need to, for me.
I have a problem from an emotional / intangible. Kellen Moore, the book on him, I'm not going to let people forget. All right, I'm not going to let people forget that the Metroplex wanted to run him out of here. People were making all the jokes about the curl routes. I'm not going to let people forget he was in Los Angeles, and it was totally forgettable that people have forgotten his Charger tenure. And I'm not going to let people forget Kellen Moore, the book on him, he, in interviewing in other places, either made no impact, according to reports, or didn't get different offers. Like, we've talked about Kellen Moore interviewing before with nothing coming out of it. Kellen sounds like he hasn't sat down and landed the interview and knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, that is a problem. I mean, because if you're not a super emotional guy, I think sometimes you're charismatic. I think sometimes you fail in these interviews. He would have to surround himself with really good coaches, you know.
Or really good motivators.
Or motivators. You know, he would have to do that. And I'm sure he would, but he would have to do that.
Or would Jerry and Steven surround him?
Oh, like they would pick? Well, you assume that the thought is that Witten would be on the staff. I don't know. I mean, is Witten going to leave his kids with 2 years left in high school?
I know. Someone told me that's not a factor. Someone told me that he would.
He would leave?
Yeah. Someone told me that would not be a hurdle, but we'll see.
Just get a bunch of meatheads on the staff. Just get Witten on there. Get Colombo. Get Marco Rivera on there.
Yeah.
Just throw them all on.
Proctor.
let's go to the next one here. Dan Lanning. Excited or frightened?
Excite.
Totally. You don't really even know what he does. Like, what position is he coach? No. But, like, we saw that one clip of him.
Trashing Deion.
We love that. I would be excited with that. Pete Carroll.
Well, also what he's done there. And he does some Mike Vrabel-esque things in terms of loopholes.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, Vrabel got turned into. I was guilty of this. I'm like, oh, Vrabel might be a coaching genius because he out-Belichick Bill. No one does that. Finding a little trick of the rules. And Dan Lanning has done that at Oregon and had a very nice program. They were number one in the country.
Yeah. I think Lanning would be, I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to leave. He's going to stay at Oregon.
Or that Jerry would hire him.
Pete Carroll.
This is one of those ones I wouldn't say outright excite, but I'd be for it. But for the purposes of the exercise, I'll say excite. The biggest problem about Pete Carroll is having
75?
This old, no, it's that he's got a 75-year-old offensive mind. It's not that he's 75.
He's more like 40.
Yes. No problem. No question. No issue with the energy. I think of Pete Carroll's a winner. I do. Like, with what happened in Seattle post-Russ, the Seattle Seahawks, I don't think, should have had as many wins as they had over the past couple of years. Now, this last one was with Pete Carroll's replacement, but you hear some nightmare, prehistoric offensive philosophy stories about Pete Carroll. If that's my mix and match, Pete Carroll's the CEO, and you make him take on, I don't know if you can, Pete's got enough skins on the wall, but I don't need this. Pete's got to take on an inventive offensive mind.
Right. Pete Carroll was, so
I'd rather have Pete with the exciting offensive mind than the exciting offensive mind with Kellen as the head coach. Give me Pete and the exciting OC.
I would be totally fine with Pete. I would be totally fine with him. So we remember him. He coached one.
And I think of him as a player's coach. There's a little bit of mystery for me about Pete Carroll. Does Pete Carroll crack skulls? Is he a disciplinary program? I'd have to go and look at Seattle's penalties, by the way. My mind is telling me that they were up there in penalties. But Pete seems like your rah-rah players type coach. I don't know how disciplined he is. You'd have to ask your Seattle
guys. Do you think that being a player's coach leads to more penalties?
Yes.
I wonder if there's like a study done on that.
I mean, I'll listen to this clip I've been saving from Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Now, this is one of those things for you not understanding if Bobby spills the McCarty tomorrow. You're just not getting it. We all have stories of people while they're here that you can't say to protect relationships, access. We got a weekly coaches show as well. Those that get it, get it. Those that don't, you know, you're just a bunch of numbnuts out there. But this is an example. Nick Eatman wasn't going to say this. It couldn't say this for own job self-preservation in the building while Mike was here. This was Eatman on DallasCowboys.com.
But everyone loved the sub, right? When the sub came in, you're like...
The substitute?
Everyone loved the substitute. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, why? Because he's easy. Or he or she. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be easy, and it's all good. Paper airplanes flying across and all that stuff. Well, yeah, everyone loves Mike. Well, of course.
Turns on a movie.
You ever been on there? You ever been over on Friday? I mean, they don't practice like other teams. I'm sorry. I'll just say it. They don't practice like other teams do.
No.
Other teams practice on Fridays. They don't. He takes them off their feet, off their leg, and he's taking care of them, which is great. Mm-hmm. Certainly didn't help from the injury front, but still. But my point is that the players love him, because he does a good job of taking care of them. But sometimes, you know, they didn't like Jimmy Johnson early on.
Yeah.
The Giants, they didn't like Parcells because – he was an ass to them. Was he a good coach? Yes. So there's got to be that balance. And I'm saying, while everyone loves having McCarthy here, the players, at least that's what they said, it's okay not to like your head coach because he's doing his job to get you ready to play. And so that's where I think it's okay for them to say, well, maybe the next coach doesn't have to be the most well-liked person in the world.
I love that. I think it's very telling.
I wonder how many teams practice on Fridays and what they do on Fridays.
Well, Nick just said that others do.
I know, but is Nick around? Is he another, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, nobody knows.
Look, there were plenty of people for the last couple years who talked to us about how hard they don't work. I got that from multiple people that they don't work as hard as other organizations, other teams. I had heard that.
In terms of the practicing. Yeah, practicing. Practice is hard. Yeah, I mean,
that's just I don't know what's happening in other facilities. I just have to take other people's word for it.
I don't know. One thing about Pete Carroll, you know, we think of him just as being successful at Seattle and USC.
Yeah.
In 3 years at New England, how many losing seasons did he have?
I would guess two or three.
None.
I totally forgot about his Patriot run.
10-6, 9-7, 8-8.
By the way, real quick.
And he was fired for Bill.
By the way, I'm just doing a quick research study of penalties over like the past 5-6 years. Seattle, I'm not seeing Seattle like in the top 10. I'm seeing a 12. 1 year here in 2019, I'm seeing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They were ninth, but I'm not seeing them ever top three, top five in terms of number of penalties. That they got flagged for.
And you really need to break it down because I don't consider roughing the passer or pass interference or holding as discipline?
I consider roughing a passer, if you know you're 5 seconds late, that's right. a stupid penalty.
I don't put that on the coach. Like, you know what I mean?
I do.
To me, because Parcells would even say penalties are on the players.
Cowboys Seahawks game, by the way, in 2023, there was 257 yards in penalties.
In what year?
2023. It was Cowboys Seahawks. Dallas came back 41-35. The game had 25 called penalties, 19 accepted between the two.
Oh.
It tied for the third most flags in a game. 257 yards in penalties, most in an NFL game that year.
Woo! It's a lot.
All right, let's continue this. I like this. Well, we got to run through them all. We'll do them all. Let's just keep going. 840. 840, because we got Pittman.
Below the belt.
840, below the belt. Excite or fright on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line. But it is a Meat Church Wednesday. Let's fire the grills back up and see what you and he are smoking. Matt Pittman, Meat Church, next on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I absolutely love this song, but it looks like we're playing the wrong one. Looking at the text messages from Meat Church, a.k.a. Matt Pittman. It is a Meat Church Wednesday here on Sean and RJ. Roberto will be back tomorrow. Why should we be playing No Diggity instead of this, Pittman?
Well, you know, back in the day, I was an usher at Texas Stadium for 5 years, a.k.a. a water boy for the cheerleaders. And I used to walk down the visitor sideline, up the tunnel and out, like where the visiting buses came in. And I was there the day that Michael Irvin drove Deion Sanders to the stadium for the first time ever. He had a convertible Mercedes. He was playing No Diggity. I'll never forget it. I mean, that's been like 25 years ago or something like that. And just, you know, strutting their stuff. So I think it's going to be round two soon.
And now look.
That is not insider information.
All right,
Pittman's gig.
Last time you did that, that's what you would be hoping for Deion to be the coach?
I didn't say hoping. I said, that's my guess. I mean, Jerry likes the primetime, likes the splash, you know, likes the big news. Like, just a Matt Pittman guess.
Okay.
I wouldn't be shocked.
And do you think it would work?
Who knows what would work at this point? I'm not happy about Big Mike. I mean, I thought Big Mike would be back, and, you know, he ran the program that allowed me to cook for the team on the weekend. So, I don't know. I thought we had a good thing going, but fans are going to get what the fans wanted now.
Hey, 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 hey. Results, baby. It's about results. Maybe the next, you know, head coach. What head coach would not like barbecue that Pittman should be rooting against? Who's on your list? You think Kellen Moore is...
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is he scarfing down some pork ribs?
Ah, I'm going to tell question. You.
Pete Carroll?
I don't see Pete Carroll scarfing down.
You don't want Pete.
You don't want Lincoln Riley because he'll just totally screw your ribs, your brisket up anyway.
That's right.
Well, he likes barbecue. He just can't make it.
He just can't make it.
All right, where have you been? What have you been doing? I see the smoker. By the way, get on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube to check out the Meat Church kitchen. My buddy in Virginia that you took care of, he's like, I'm watching a Meat Church video per day. What have you been doing?
Man, yeah, look, right now it's a video shoot day right here in the kitchen. We're cooking. Got the mill scale 94-gallon offset going here. We get a little peek. We got a little chicken in there right now.
Look at that.
Wow, look at that. Man, yeah, my neighbor made, what was it? Was it the poor man's brisket? He made your recipe. It was phenomenal.
Awesome.
It was phenomenal. Your neighbor,
thank you.
Hey, Matt, real quick, put the camera back on that smoker. I got a couple questions. Like, so I have a green egg and I have a pellet. How much better does that thing cook? How does that cook differently from what I have if I'm smoking stuff?
Well, I tell people, you know, I do think it's the best. Is it 100,000% better than what you have? Not necessarily, but, you know, it's about the experience and just it's spiritual to be able to light a fire and like maintain it all day. Now, a lot of people don't have the patience or time. Now we watch social media and we're trained to be entertained in 3 seconds. Yeah. So, you know, it forces you to slow down and it's very rewarding. There's that. You'll use it less than your other tools because of the time that it takes, but I highly recommend it. And one that's this nice, you'll pass down to your kids.
Now, do you roll your eyes at a temp regulator, like a Flame Boss choppy? This is something I connect to my green egg and it's supposed to keep me from having to wake up every hour to keep the temperature. It keeps the temp for you or tries to keep it close with a fan and everything. Can you use a temp regulator with that?
Not with this because you've got to like run like a real fire with, you know, big pieces of wood. But, you know, I think the temperature regulators, particularly on Kamado grills, are fine. Otherwise, a big green egg, a Kamado Joe, they can't run a fire for 8 hours and not have any fluctuation. It's not possible. So what's going to happen if you don't do it at 5 a.m, your fire is going to be super low or something like that. So there's nothing wrong with it. Unless this is your profession, you know, where you're like running this all day, you're going to have tools, you know, to make it a little more practical.
Now, does that like, is part of the fun of cooking this, the chore of getting up every couple of hours? Does that take the sport out of it?
Well, people say that for sure. And I used to say it when I was younger and dumb. But is it practical at our age with kids to be waking up three times a night? No. I mean, if I woke my wife up, she would kick my ass. So, no, it's not practical.
Back in bed, like for me, the problems were
smelling.
When I lay back in bed and I'm full of smoke, you know, I'm like, yeah, hickory.
Yeah.
My wife ain't feeling that. And When I got a baby and and a 4-year-old and the in-laws are coming over, when I put on that pellet grill, I executed the prime rib for Christmas perfectly without having to run in and out and then being exhausted at 5 or 6 p.m. because I'm up at 1 or 2. Right, Matt?
Exactly. Hey, you know, I got an idea. How about we do a Tolo overnight cookout one night where we can get together and we can do an overnight because there's nothing better than drinking beer and whiskey and running a fire all night, especially if we go somewhere we don't have to answer to the other halves, you know?
Yes. And then you do, you know, maybe the show, or it'd be more fun without a show, like on a Friday morning and just go ahead and do it for work purposes. Heck yeah. We'll go to you and Derek Holland's ranch.
Yeah, the one that we don't know about. We're not allowed to know where it is.
He'll be out there in his $200,000 truck trying to get it muddy so he can impress the guys at the country club, and I'll cook for it.
Matt Pittman joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So what is the chicken for?
I'm trying to start doing some more like everyday meals to attract a broader audience. Maybe people aren't smoking. So the plan today was to do chicken and dumplings, and we couldn't resist the urge to throw the chicken in the smoker. So it's going to be smoked chicken and dumplings. So baby steps. But we're doing a bunch of comfort food right now. We did like a creamy potato soup yesterday that I said was, it might sound exciting. It's probably the best thing I've made in 6 months. It's so good.
Whoa.
You're going to love this one. We made chili yesterday with beans in it.
Oh man, don't say that.
Wait.
I don't know what you made, but it wasn't chili.
Mr. Chili Judgment. I have mushrooms and zucchini and corn, and y'all may call it stew. And you created the biggest Texas sin out there. You did that. You did that just to catch hate.
Well, I did say I've never done this, and so let's see what it tastes like. And I resisted the urge to go with a bunch of shtick and whatnot. So we put kidney beans, we put pinto beans, and you'll have to wait till the video comes out to see what my reaction was at the end.
That's probably too many beans, but you get one can of chili beans and it's more than fine. It's totally fine. I made your recipe. I made your chili recipe, by the way. I finally did it. My wife was skeptical. I'm like, no, this is Texas chili. I got the peppers, the deseeded, I did all the steps. It was phenomenal. It was fantastic. But if there was a couple chili beans in there, there would have been nothing wrong with it. Why, instead of this Texas ragu, you know.
Hey, look, I mean, I've had brown meat sauce. I've had great chili that adds more than just meat in it, all right? With some mushrooms and grape jelly.
See?
You know, I've had, that's good. I don't know what you call it.
Man, grape jelly. All right.
He put crushed Oreos in it.
We ran a poll of all of our customers, and we asked, like, do you prefer chili with beans, chili without, or you like it both ways? And 38% said they preferred it with beans. 37 said either way.
Oh.
And just under 30% said no beans. So it's what? Not, I'm not, look.
I thought that was sin here. I'm shocked by that poll result.
When I say our customers, it's, you know, hey, look, we're worldwide.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're global. They're global.
Yes. You know,
those bean answers could have been coming from, you know, Chicago. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's right. I'm just trying to serve my customer base. So we, you know, we put the recipe out there and we'll see what the results are.
Official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, Matt Pittman here on 105.3 The Fan. Let me ask you a nerdy demographics question. Outside of Texas, where do your, like, number two or three sales come from statewide? State-wise.
Our tied with Texas for our top state is California.
Very bad place. Terrible.
Tied?
Yeah. California. So,
what's your best tri-tip seasoning?
Must be inland. You know, like that's where the barbecue is.
Holy cow, for sure. My big states are Florida, Georgia, California are the tops for sure. We're obviously big in the South, Southeast in particular, where barbecue is a big deal. But I got two theories on California, or maybe three. Obviously, it's a big state, a lot of people. There's great weather. Like in Texas, you can be outside cooking 12 months a year in most parts of California. And then also I partnered with Traeger and it's their biggest state. So I've got a lot of factors, but yeah, love us some California here at meatchurch.com.
Well, speaking of that.
Well, real quick, what is their preferred
tri-tip?
That is number one.
Yeah, they love tri-tip. But there's guys doing barbecue. Like when we hold events, the number one visiting state is always California. My barbecue schools, there are always California people here. So they're really into what we do, which is honestly super cool.
Wow. All right, speaking of California, we saw a picture the other day that you're supposed to be cooking for the big man. Tell us where you were and what you were doing. RJ Choppy, try to contain your excitement.
You're talking about when I was in Florida?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I became friends with Eric Trump a couple years ago. I was on Jay Cutler's podcast together with him. Great guy, avid outdoorsman. So three of us connected over outdoors life, hunting and stuff like that. And so great guy. He described himself to me as a Fifth Avenue redneck. Apparently is like lethal at 1500 yards. So really? We kind of hit it off and we've kept in touch. Back when I was on the Tonight Show, I took my friends by his office to meet him beginning of the year. And he said, hey, my dad's got some new hats. Do you want some? And he pulled out his typical hat. But in February of last year on the side, they said 45 and 47. I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty ballsy. So, but anyway, he turned 41 last week. And so I went down to Jupiter and cooked his surprise birthday party. His buddies bought him this insane smoker.
Okay, the other day after the show, this was a 5-minute conversation about this smoker in the hallway with the boss about you. That was not yours. You did not decorate that.
No, that's his. It was a birthday gift for him last year. And he had asked me in February, would you ever come cook on it? I was like, absolutely. So went down and Laura surprised him. Him and his assistant, Kim, they set this up. And so, yeah, I was on the phone with Laura Trump from my deer camp. All the guys were like, you're talking to who? But it was a ton of fun. I will tell you, so I stayed at Trump National on 18, beautiful place. And I've never met people more happy to work for an organization. Everyone there was so nice, like they were loving life. And it was a ton of fun. Really great group. They invited me to the inauguration, which is, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, but I thought
you don't know if you're going to be able to make it. What are you, shucking oysters somewhere in Florida? What else are you going to be doing?
My daughter has volleyball this weekend, and that's pretty sacred. So,
well, hang on, isn't it on a Monday?
Yeah, it is, but it's like there? Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's not the invite is like a multi-day thing, and
Matt.
But anyway, I was disappointed. His dad was supposed to be there, but former president passed away, and as soon as I saw the schedule, I thought he ain't gonna make it. So, we're working on potentially cooking for his birthday, which is on Flag Day or July 4th. So, my dream would be to haul my 1,000-gallon smoker to the White House to cook for a sitting president.
Now, one of the things I love about you, you're not afraid to mix it up. I saw your comment the other day on Facebook, which we loved. You'll mix it up. And you talk about some of the people who give you some crap for being the official pitmaster of the Cowboys. When you post a presidential video, where's it going to go? Where is it going to go in terms of the psychotic comments? How do you weigh that, judge it?
Well, so look, you know, I've only ever posted the George Bush thing. We don't do politics, right? Because Democrats and Republicans buy our seasoning. And I grew up in an era where we had differences and that was okay. And you could talk about it and be friends. I hate the fact that we're supposed to hate each other. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
And if you don't like a candidate, cool. That doesn't mean you don't like me. I'm not the candidate. And I understand it, right? And sometimes it's like, whatever. It is what it is. But I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, I posted the Bush thing, got all kinds of comments. I'm like, no, I mean, look, I'm gonna post this in the next couple of days, and I'm gonna lose on Instagram. I've already told my team, I'm like, we'll lose thousands of followers, but it's a buddy. I don't give a crap. Like, if they knew this person, like personally, then they might have a different opinion. I don't care what your opinion is, but it doesn't mean that it changes your impact or your, like, how much do you like my product or what I do. Doesn't mean I'm a different person than you thought previously.
Well said. And I know someone who is not gonna unfollow. Did you hear the Ian Rappaport commercial he basically did for you last week as he bumped your time slot?
Ian's a great guy. I met him at a Traeger event, a Traeger grill launch years ago. We keep in touch. I helped him with that pastrami brisket that he talked to you guys about. He's just a fantastic guy. Like, he gives me advice on what I should do with kind of like my appearances and things like that. But I had no idea he was going to air a straight up commercial. Yeah. So that I owe him a huge thank you for that. I got to send him a little thank you package.
That was awesome. It's been too long. We'll keep up the regular schedule moving forward. MeatChurch.com for all the comfort recipes, chicken and dumplings coming off the smoker today. Thank you, brother. Missed you. Appreciate you.
Hey, missed you guys. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
Matt Pittman. It's a Meat Church Wednesday on the D&M Leasing Hotline and live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The rest of RJ's Cowboys coaching list, excite or frighten you, next. The great Bobby Belt.
RJ Choppy here. I'm back, baby!
I watch more football than you do.
All right, we've gone through the excited or frightened candidates of Kellen Moore and Pete Carroll and Dan Lanning.
Will they excite or fright you as a Cowboy fan, as Tolo Curtis just tweeted? 2 days later and not one official interview or request.
No, of course not.
Out of Frisco.
Will there be one by the Super Bowl? I hope so. But you know, when I noticed when I was writing all these names down, I wrote 25 or so names down. But this is not the most inspiring list of candidates. I mean, some are fun.
A lot of people thought it was a weak coaching pool.
Yeah, I agree. So it's some of them are fun, but some of them are very uninspiring. So we talked about Kellen, Dan, and Pete. Let's continue.
We did excited for Pete and Dan Lanning, frightened for Kellen because of the CEO aspect.
Yes. I think Kellen's like a good mind. He needs meatheads on his staff. He needs a good staff. He needs a really good staff around him, I think. The other two, they'll put a good staff together. You know, and they can also, they have that personality that jumps at you. Speaking of personality, Deion Sanders. Excited or frightened?
Excited.
Oh, baby.
Excited.
For a football standpoint or for Mondays or maybe Fridays, depending on what day he would come on with us?
You know, the biggest content, I mean, we'd float into retirement.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders would allow us to retire early with the amount of ratings.
Yeah, that's very true.
The world would explode.
Yeah, it would.
It really would. Like, he might outdo Belichick. He would probably outdo Belichick if Belichick was the head coach here.
He would.
From a football standpoint, my big question about Deion is, how would Deion get along with the players? Would Deion have zero pay? Nick Saban and Deion Sanders can be themselves in college. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't be yourself as much because these kids can pick up, transfer, and roll out, but much easier to be like that with young kids than grown men. That's my big question. Nick Saban, some people are throwing out Saban. I'm like, Nick Saban, he couldn't get along with NFL players 15 years ago. I don't think old, grumpy, surly Saban is getting along with players better now. How would
Plus, there's not enough Bama kid players on this team that would know how to handle him.
Like, I would love Deion. I'm intrigued by Deion's CEO and then your brilliant X's and O's coordinators next to him.
Yeah. All right, so my issue.
But the answer for me is excited.
Yeah, so obviously, like.
And from a football standpoint, intrigued.
It's intrigued from a football standpoint. Like, excited for the whole thing.
Yeah.
We would have to. He would cancel, like, he would not answer questions from Bobby after about four games. Because, you know, that's the one thing he did there this year at Boulder. I mean, he was like, he basically, like, banned people, started banning reporters. Like, yeah. You can't do that in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you could try, but I don't know. In the NFL, I don't know if you're going to get away with
it. Think he's too sensitive?
Might be. He might also be able to make it work at the NFL level because of that.
And, of course, his son Shador was at the Maverick game last night, sitting in the Joneses' seats.
Yes.
He was asked, what do you think of your dad coaching the Cowboys? He said, I think it would be exciting.
There you go. Close excited quote. Or frightened? John Gruden.
Excited from a content standpoint. Frightened from a football standpoint.
I want him away from anything that has to do with personnel.
I think John Gruden is a football spaz. I love him on Barstool. The interviews would be absolute gold. I don't know if I trust John Gruden running my whole football program.
He shred it, baby. Like when he was at the Raiders, I mean, they did a good job getting that roster. Like, he did a really nice job. But remember, he won with Tony Dungy's players. At Tampa. That's where he took him over the hump. That's where he won the Super Bowl.
I just don't trust his personnel judgment at either. All.
I mean, he couldn't spot it. Like I said this yesterday. He couldn't spot a quarterback if you put Tom Brady in the room.
The problem is he spots too many. He's a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I love this guy. I love that guy. I love this guy.
He's a QB ho.
Yeah, he really is.
Like his time in Vegas, what do you think the record was? In 53 games.
Is that counting the last couple or is it the early part? Well, I mean, they were really good at the when he left there the first time. I would guess he had.
No, I'm talking about this last run.
Oh, this last
yeah,
run.
Yeah, the last run.
Oh, terrible. I would say he probably had 20 wins in 53 games.
22 and 31. So close. 4-12, 7-9, and 8-8. You know, I never really felt like they were getting ready to turn a corner.
No, I didn't either.
But you just said you thought he did a nice job there.
Well, I was talking about the first time with the
roster.
Raiders.
Oh, the first time.
The first time, yeah. He built a nice roster there.
Oh, hell yeah. I love that off. I mean, that Rich Gannon offense, they were fun to watch.
Yeah.
Bill Callahan.
He built a good team there. Okay, so.
What about you? I'm frightened for
Gruden. I'm frightened. I mean, I'm excited about the interview with him every day. I am frightened for him as a head coach with this team. Lane Kiffin.
Frightened. I don't know if I trust Lane Kiffin as a CEO. I don't trust his personality. He's sensitive. You know, he's doing the Sidney Sweeney or no.
Who's Sidney Thomas.
Sidney Thomas responses. I don't know. I don't know if I trust. I mean, he'd be amazing content as well. From a football standpoint, you could probably speak to this more than me. Do you consider him like still this X's and O's great offensive mind?
Yeah, I think he's kind of like a quarterback whisperer of sorts. I think.
Like, talk to me about Lane as a coach.
Honestly, Lane got a lot. So when he was at Tennessee, the 1 year he was there, he had a quarterback named Jonathan Crumpton, and this kid had tools. But he never, I mean, he was terrible. And the 1 year he was there, he got him drafted in like the fifth round. Like, this guy was not getting drafted by any stretch. He was there 1 year. They put up decent numbers.
Would you take Lane or Sark?
Lane.
Oh, no hesitation.
Yeah. Well, I think they both have their flaws. I think Sark sometimes gets in his own way. I think if you gave Lane Sark's talent, I think he would do more with Sark's talent.
How do you think Lane would get along with NFL players? And he was the wild card dark horse on Nick Harris's list yesterday for Fort Worth Star Telegram.
I think Lane would be all right. He'd be all right. He's not like he's not an overlord like a Saban is. I think he'd be okay.
He's like too arrogant.
He's definitely arrogant. But you know what he would do? He would give the players
freedom.
Moxie. Freedom to be themselves, I think. You know, he's got like he's Rex Ryan without the feet from that standpoint.
Okay.
Bill O'Brien.
You answer this first.
I think Bill O'Brien is a really solid football coach. I want him, same thing with Gruden, nowhere near any decisions when it comes to players.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this dude dragged some lifeless Texans teams to the playoffs.
I think he's a good coach. I'm going to lean towards frightened just because of his personality in dealing with this show.
I agree. I
think he's a good coach.
I do, too. I think he's in a good spot at BC, at Boston College. I think he's going to do well there. As well as you can do there. Next one, excited or frightened? Lincoln Riley.
Frightened.
Absolutely. He could coach one thing, and that's a quarterback, and that's it.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley.
I mean, he's been a disappointment at USC.
Yep.
I don't know if he can handle the heat as the CEO, and his defenses suck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frightened.
Yep. Jason Witten.
Excited.
That would be too.
I love that we're aligning here. NFL is your favorite sport now. Leadership, intangibles, the gut, the grit. I think, I'll say it again, I wish Troy Aikman would have been an assistant GM or in an executive role for the past 3 to 5 years. And I wish that Jason Witten would have been an assistant coach somewhere the past 3 to 5 years so that we could just elevate both of them right now. I'm scared. I'm a believer in experience. I want Jason Witten in the organization yesterday. I want him as the tight ends coach. I want him as some type of assistant quickly. I would be excited. I mean, I'd be frightened as the head coach.
I'd be frightened as,
I want Witten on a staff quickly.
It'd be ex-frightment. I'd be ex-frightened.
I love it.
I'd be excited about, like, hey, look, it's something new. It's something different. I'd be frightened because of him as a head coach. It's a little bit of both there. Marcus Freeman.
I don't know enough about Marcus Freeman, but right now I lean towards excitement.
Yeah, I'd be stoked. Totally.
What
stoked.
Do you know about him?
The players love him. When he got that job, there's a video out there.
What is his football expertise? Does he have one?
A specialty? I don't know.
All right.
When he got that job, when Brian Kelly left, they had this other assistant coach, this older guy.
Which that quote is now haunting Brian Kelly when he goes, I want to go to LSU. I want to go somewhere to compete for championships. What a jackass.
This assistant comes out there and was like, hey, we're all going to sit together, but I want to introduce you to your new coach. And it was Marcus. And Marcus burst through the door. And, I mean, he's got moxie, right? And he comes out.
That's a CEO.
The players are loving it. They are jumping for joy. And, I mean, he's a great dude. I think he's a really good coach. He's shown that he can win. He got, he had the 10 men on the field thing with Ohio State. You know, he owned it. He had a great answer. He owned it.
And he had that awesome special teams play that they ran.
Phenomenal. I love him.
I have to find out what a specialty is. Go ahead.
Aaron Glenn.
Got to do more homework. I've done some. I'm going to lean towards excited. Brian Broaddus really advocated for him the other day, has been advocating for him. I love Lions fan Jeff, who hit us up and said, this is the guy. It's not Ben Johnson.
Yep.
It's Aaron Glenn. And I pulled this clip of Aaron Glenn sitting down with the Pivot, talking about his coaching philosophy.
Today's coaching, man, you have to be relatable. All right. The players have to be able to sit down and talk to you and have a conversation. Man, there are so many players I'll talk to this day. Said, man, I've never had a chance to just sit and talk with a coach. I've never had a chance to have interaction and confrontation with a coach. It's almost like I got to shut up. And I said, no, man, tell me exactly what your issues are, right? And we could talk about it. Man, me and Tracy Walker, Tracy came to my house, right, before training camp. Me and Tracy was sitting there just knocking tape out. And one day he was just like, just quiet. And I was like, what's wrong? He said, coach, I've never ever had a chance to go to a coach's house. You know, your wife over there cooking dinner, your daughter is running around, all right, and I'm sitting here watching tape. Man, I just, like, that just don't happen. And I was shocked, like, why?
Right.
Why can't it happen? Because you know what? As a player, man, I would love to sit down with my coach and sit there and pick his brain and watch. And so, man, that's what I want to offer to all my players, right? Dude, this is coaches over here and players over there, that's not what we are. Man, we right here, right? Because my job is to help you get better. That's my only job, right? My job is to create a winning environment for you, get you paid, right? because everybody wins, right? The organization wins and you win if all those things happen. So, yeah, I'm going to sit here and spend as much time as I can with you because that's my pleasure anyway.
Love the clip.
I'll watch Take With You and Get You Better.
My bad. Love the clip. I would lean towards excited with Aaron Glenn. I would too.
I think he's. I mean, forget the defensive coordinator aspect of it. I think this is a guy that could lead men.
Let's knock out the rest of Choppy's list as part of the final hour of the Hump Day edition. Okay. Let's talk about teams that are actually competing for something, not just headlines. NFL playoff overreactions or not, and another Tolo ticket giveaway next.